Hi, I'm Sophia Hussein. I'm photographer and co-founder and editor-in-chief of Dini Magazine, and words for me are bridges to emotions.
Hi, welcome to the Writer's Rotation podcast. I'm your host, Kathy Stamps. I love words and writing and people and talking. So I'm talking to people who write all kinds of things in different professions. It's a writer's rotation.
Sophie.
Hi, Kathy. So nice to see you.
You too.
Actually, yes, I was thinking that for you, it's like looking into the future. Right now here, it's 3 p.m., right?
No, I'm only 8 a.m. You're in the future. How is my day?
Amazing. It's filled with sunshine and smiles and rainbows and everything is perfect.
Sunshine and smiles. That's my favorite day.
Glad that you're going to have such one.
Is Bulgaria your hometown?
Yes. Actually, as I mentioned when we met, I'm Sofia from Sofia. So basically, I was born and raised here. And as I'm kidding, my parents weren't very creative. They basically named me after the city. Like with F, not with PH, which has caused in the past some confusions when I was, for example, working for the Sofia Film Festival, which is kind of our Sundance or Cannes, you know, and it's like Sofia Film Festival. And then it was like, best regards, Sofia. And they were like, your name, like foreign, you know, like participants, they were confused a bit.
Well, at least they didn't name you Istanbul if they were over there.
Yeah. Although this could have been interesting, but yeah, Sofia from Sofia here right now in Sofia, Bulgaria.
And you are a photographer, a musician, a designer, or you write about them?
I'm a photographer and a designer also, although this seems to be kind of a past life almost. Like once upon a time, I used to be a fashion and costume designer. Actually, that's what I studied. I worked in the field for more than 10 years. But then slowly, the photography kind of took over. It was kind of always like going parallel with the design, but slowly, my focus shifted towards photography. So I became a photographer and funny enough, not a fashion photographer, but a music one. Like I'm very interested in everything connected to music, creating music, like the whole process, how musicians function, how they create. I don't play any instrument. So I decided the camera is going to be my instrument.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So a musician, no, just observing and interviewing them. And
So the creatives, the artists you interview, do they all speak different languages?
Actually, yeah. Yeah, the thing is most of them work pretty well with English, but it gets a bit more complicated when it's a different language and when it's not so common language like Bulgarian, for example. I'm covering a lot of international festivals and music events. So I was kind of doing interviews with international artists. So when it's possible, I'm trying to do it in their native language, which in my case will cover English, German, and Spanish. Those are my languages. But if not, then it's English or, of course, Bulgarian, if I'm interviewing Bulgarian artists.
And when did you start this magazine?
Well, the magazine started almost, I must think about it, like 8 years ago. Yeah.
What year was that?
Yes.
I don't even know what year that was.
Yeah, sorry. I'm always like, we always have this joke. When exactly is the magazine's birthday? Because I remember vivid when with my friends with whom we started together the magazine, when we were on a dinner and we were talking about it, how we wanted to, you know, create this platform. Back then I was working as a fashion designer. And the other two people with whom we started the magazine, one of them was a photographer and the other one was a lawyer / writer. Now, actually, it's more in the writer milieu. So, we were just kind of joking about it. But then we decided that we want to create this platform where we can showcase not only our work and our creative process, but also to shine spotlight on other artists who are not so well represented in the media, in the creative media. Because back then, we noticed that there were always the same names everywhere, the same brands, the same project. And it was like, those people, they don't need more coverage, you know, they have enough exposure, so to say. So let's kind of focus on other people, because there are so many talented people around the world who are not so well known, but they deserve their moment. So actually, this is how the magazine started. It was in the beginning. We just wanted, you know, to showcase our work, other people's work. And at the beginning, it was more focused on design, of course, and photography, contemporary culture, art. But slowly, with the time, as my focus shifted towards music and even more photography, kind of also the focus of the magazine shifted a bit. It just happened very naturally. And these are the perks of having your own magazine, kind of. You
Yes.
decide the direction. And also because my general idea was, this is a passion project I want to write, and I want to like show only issues I'm really interested in and that I'm passionate about. That's the point. There's no point of just writing about something that I don't understand or it's not that interesting for me. So this is, for example, why now, like, although it's a music magazine, it's not all type of genres, not because I don't like them or whatever, but it's just because I wouldn't write about a genre that I do not understand and I don't have the knowledge. So we are more focused now on jazz and soul, funk, and world music, like kind in general.
Very cool. And it's online.
Yes, it's online. It's also both in Bulgarian and English. It's called Dinya, so Dinya dot EU, and then slash EN for the English version. And Dinya in Bulgarian actually means watermelon. So
I
I
was going to ask, what does it mean?
yeah.
Watermelon. So it's just fun.
Exactly. A lot of people take themselves too seriously. I don't know, especially in the creative world, sometimes there is a lot of ego going on, and we're not that type of people. So that's why we wanted to have a name that is, as you said, fun, and you can't like immediately tell what it is about, actually. So, and it's also very short and easy to pronounce in different languages, it turned out, because our start launch campaign was like asking a lot of our friends who live abroad, like in different countries all over the globe, just to pronounce the word without knowing what it is. And it turned out it was easy to pronounce for everyone. Nobody had problems with it.
I would say Dinya or Dinya.
The second one more, it's like
Dinya.
both are actually pretty good. You're pronouncing it pretty well, but the second one, it's a bit more accurate. Dinya.
Dinya. I like Dinya. I like watermelon.
Yeah, me too. I discovered like an old photos of me when I was like, I don't know, maybe 2 years old or even younger. And I have those photos with watermelons. Like I was just posing, holding a watermelon, like hugging one. I had one with a watermelon and my grandmother. I had one holding it together with my mom, with my father. So I was like, what was going on back then? Was watermelon like a trendy prop or something for photos?
That's hilarious.
Exactly. So I think I was predestined, me and the watermelons.
That's fun. So, do you have an official staff?
Yes, we are a relatively small team. It's now just the people that we started the magazine, and we are working also like with freelance journalists or with contributors, but basically it's us, the three of us who started it.
And how do you decide who's interviewing and who's writing and who's putting it all on the website and
Well, we're dividing it a bit amongst all of us, but I would say I'm a bit more in charge of the interview part because it's something that kind of naturally has developed through the years. It's like we just see what's the strongest suit of the person, and then they do this. Like the photographer who is now also a UX UI designer, he's taking care, of course, of the technical part and the visual side of it, which is very important because the DNA of the magazine is like visual and aesthetic. It's like not only about words and the either music or photography or the whatever topic it is, but it needs to look good, so to say.
yes.
So he's taking care of this, and the other girl that is also part of the team, she's an editor. Like she's the master of kind of words. She's doing all the proofreading and looking if there is a missing comma or something.
Yes.
Because I must admit, I have a bit of a funny relationship with Bulgarian language because I left Bulgaria after graduating from high school and to study in Germany and then Spain. So basically, I was living more than 12 years abroad. And in that time, I was living in different countries, like speaking and writing in different languages, but not Bulgarian. So sometimes I tend to kind of ways of structuring a sentence, like for example, from German or Spanish in Bulgarian, which to me sounds like natural, but then somebody else is reading and it's like, it doesn't sound very, like flowing naturally like Bulgarian. So
Oh, interesting.
I'm living.
Yeah, I know in what do they call it? The Romance languages, French and Spanish, you would say a shirt gray.
Ah, exactly, yes.
And in English, we say a gray shirt, things like that.
I was always actually interested in like the comparison of languages and how a language is structured, not so much from like grammar point or like the academia point of view, but more like the emotion that a language is conveying and the way it the melody of a language. Like for example, I've noticed like German language, which it's kind of a tough language to learn, but I find they have fantastic expressions because it's German language is also famous for the longest words that they have, like five words together in one, and it's one word. One of my favorites, it's not that long, Tapetenwechsel, which literally means tapeten, it's wallpaper. Wechsel is change, so it's change of wallpaper. But the idea behind it is like in English, I think it would be like change of scenery, change of your environment. When you need like in your mind, you need to decompress or you need a vacation or something, you need to change your wallpapers.
Okay.
So I really love that expression because I think it's very representative for the German language that something so abstract actually as idea is represented with such a specific and practical words. So yeah, so every language has like its own specifics, and I don't know how you feel about it if you speak other languages or you write in other languages, but
I don't know.
I always felt that it's only your mother tongue, your native language, that you have the most like natural and even subconscious emotional connection to it. Like it doesn't matter how well you know another language. Maybe that's just me that I feel this way. But like this emotion that a single word can convey in you, it's you can have only with your native language, I think.
And yes, and it's how you grew up. Maybe it was your community, your culture, your environment.
Exactly. Yeah, like what you're hearing since younger age, like you connect emotions with words since younger age, so that's why.
Oh, yes. Oh, we could go off on a whole psychological. In my family, shut up was never tolerated. That was like the worst thing you could possibly say.
Really?
Oh,
Okay.
yes.
So can you say it nowadays? Can you use the word or
We don't say that.
no?
I probably don't. I probably don't even. I'd have to think about that. My brothers and I Zoom every Sunday. We have since the pan started. I'll have to ask them because apparently we used to say it all the time. Shut up.
Actually, it's not a very polite word and
No.
phrase, so it's good that you're not using
No.
it. But yeah, for example, me, I cannot, like in Bulgarian, I cannot swear or say like vulgar words. I like in general, I don't like that type of language. But like in Bulgarian, it's literally, I can't pronounce the words. It's like so funny.
Oh.
But like in another language, like I don't know, Spanish or German or even English, I don't have problems. I mean, I wouldn't use it normally, but I would say it if necessary. But in Bulgarian, it's kind of impossible for me. It's like this feeling of constraint and kind of embarrassment or something. I don't know that those words I'm not.
Yes. Ooh, I wonder if there are language psychologists out
Oh, definitely. If they're listening, maybe they can explain this to me.
there. What did you study in college?
Well, it's kind of university here. We don't have.
Oh,
Oh,
university. Okay.
call. I think because it's a different system. After college in US, you go also to university, right? Or
No.
no? Ah, okay. So anyway, so after high school, first I studied communication science, politics, and sociology. So there were a bit of a path towards writing, yeah, because it was like very like writing intensive and like talking and everything. But since high school, I had this like kind of creative urge, and after I spent some time, I decided I would love to pursue that and study design. So I switched and I moved to Hamburg, which is northern Germany. And actually, yeah, I studied and graduated there in fashion, costume, and textile design.
Wow.
And after that, I moved to Spain, where I studied. I did a master in fashion design, and after that, kind of, yeah, I continued that path in the design world for some time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was in London for some time working. Then also, I moved back to Spain, Barcelona. I was working there as a costume designer. Yeah, back in Bulgaria a bit, then also a bit in Italy. But yeah, kind of a nomad life through Europe a bit.
Love it. Do you have a personal writing practice?
I do it more intuitively, so to say. I do not have like very strict systems, maybe because until today I wouldn't like see myself as a writer. I don't know, writer for me is someone who writes books and poetry and stuff like
No,
this.
you're writing these articles. That definitely counts as a writer.
I mean, I understand, but kind of in my brain, maybe. I don't know, maybe the imposter syndrome. So, well, like all of us.
Dude, I know.
Or something like this, but in general, I need like a very quiet environment to start writing. This wasn't like that earlier, to be honest. I always had like music in the background, but like recently, I really need to be in very quiet and peaceful. Like my desk needs to be very organized, and I've noticed that the best ways to do it, like to write and to keep it flowing, it's not to think too much about it, because at the moment when I start to think that, okay, now I need to write an intro for this article, for this artist. It needs to be that long. All these restrictions that I have later, and I will edit it so the text will fit in those.
Right.
But in the beginning, if I start from there, it's like the blank page will stay blank. So I just start writing, like without thinking too much. And I also learned in the process, like not to edit until I stop, like naturally.
Ooh, good for you.
Yeah, otherwise, if I go back and start like editing the sentences, then I lose it. So I'm kind of writing until I stop from myself, and then I go back and edit and again. And normally, even if the article I would say is ready, I leave it to rest at least like one night until the morning, where
Yes.
I'm freshest, so to say, because very often I work late in the night, and I'm sure that even if I went like 10 times through the article, there will be some mistakes, some spelling, or things that I'm unable to see right now. I don't know why.
Oh, that's every that you are a writer if that happens, because that happens to everyone. So you have to let it marinate.
Exactly. So I let it marinate in its sauce, and then in the morning the chef is checking how is it, and then I see some mistakes and I'm like, how? I wasn't able to see that yesterday. It's so obvious.
But they're easily fixed.
Yeah. So yeah, I fix them, and then it's like the button publish, like the best part.
And then with the digital version,
Yeah.
you can make changes too if you have to.
Actually, yeah, this is the good part about it. Yeah, because in printing, it's like it is out there and that.
There forever.
But I think also with the years, although I'm kind of a natural perfectionist in me, I try to let it go. Like I try to say to that perfectionist, shut up a little bit. Because I mean, sometimes when I'm reading something, for example, when I see there is a typo or maybe there is a missing comma or whatever, of course it's not ideal. I mean, as a writer, it should be like fine, but at the end, it's like more the meaning of the words that is coming through me, like the emotion that
Yes.
evoking in me. This is the main thing. So going crazy over some typo after that, it's like whatever. It's like not the end of the world, kind of.
You like writing in quiet environments. Can you imagine being a sports writer
Oh no.
on the, at courtside or on the side of the field typing away, just going with all that
I
noise?
will need some very good noise canceling headphones, or I don't
But
know.
you have to hear it in the, and then the crowd went wild.
Or... So even if, for example, when I'm at a concert or a music event, like I'm photographing during the event,
Oh, yeah.
like observing, of course, and like taking like mental notes, and then later on when it's quiet and I'm alone, then I start
Okay.
putting those notes and writing and describing how it is. Or after that, I have the interview with the artist when it's like everything calm. But yeah, I wouldn't be able to work in a loud and very energetic environment.
What about fiction? Have you tried your hand at fiction?
No, actually, not really. And I don't know, maybe I did some journaling, like all of us, I guess. And but or actually now when I'm thinking about it, when I was a kid, I remember that I started something like a short novel or something like this, but I can't remember anything about it, the plot or whatever. But I remember there was something, because as a kid I was like, I really loved books. I was reading all day and all night. They were kind of my like kind of a escape sometimes, or friends, or like a way to discover the world. Even sometimes my parents needed to intervene because I was reading the whole night, like in the bed lighting, which,
Sleeper books, 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 books.
yeah, so yeah, a lot of books. I lost a bit that habit now, I must say, and I'm a bit sad about it. I'm trying to recover it. It's like my concentration. It's I don't know. I think I'm a very old school analog physical copy paper
Okay.
kind of girl. Like I feel more connected to the words if I'm holding the book, if I can feel the paper. Like I need the tactile
Oh.
touch of it. It's not that much the smell of a book as a lot of people I think love, but it's more like touching the paper and
The tactile, yes.
exactly.
Turning the page.
Exactly.
Who, have you ever run into an artist, a creative who's just not really a kind person? Or, but you know what I mean. And you're like, I have to write an article about this person.
I must say, until now, I was kind of lucky because as being the founder or co-founder of the magazine, it's like we decided to really pick and decide what people are we going to write about. So it's always like even we try to have some connection with those people. It's not just random artists that we see on stage, but it's someone like I'm interested in their philosophy, their way of seeing the life or point of view, or not only the art kind of. So normally until now I was lucky to like to interview amazing people that we kind of connected. But there was one case where I interviewed a creative person, which and actually the interview was pretty good because the person as an artist, as a creative, was really interesting, like amazing work. But then it turned out not to be a very nice person
Oh,
and
okay.
as a human being, like on a human level. And I was quite I didn't know what to do because should I publish or not? How would I approach this? And at the end, I decided not to publish the interview, even though it was a good interview, so to say, because I believe it's very, very important that we are humans first and then creatives or whatever else. I'm defending that the idea because a lot of people are like, yeah, you should kind of divide the creative from the human, from the person. And I understand that, but still, for me personally, I think the human comes first and then the art and the creativity. Yeah, the second one cannot be an excuse to be a horrible person, so to say.
Good for you. What's your publishing schedule? So many per week, per month, per.
It depends on the seasons. If we are covering like festivals or events, then it's a bit more tight schedule. But in general, we try once per week too, because also our articles are kind of a bit long format, so to say. And now we are also thinking of maybe adding a podcast.
Ooh.
As you know, like long format, like reading, it's quite difficult. Although I don't like that word very much, but to consume their content in like in an audio format. So maybe Dinya is going to take also that road.
Everyone is quick to say, oh, we don't have our attentions back. What if it's because there are just so many, many, many good articles out there?
I like that.
And we want to read them all. We want to, the screen connects me to the entire world.
This is a really a positive point of view. I would, yeah, because normally people are more tending to, like to blame it on our attention span, as me too. But let's shift our perspective and think there are too many good articles. That's why we can't concentrate.
That's right.
We all are kind of writers because we use words, and words are extremely important. I'm from a mixed background. My mom is Bulgarian, my father is Somalian. And back then it was kind of there were almost no mixed marriages here in Bulgaria, so someone like me was very, very rare. And I learned from young age that words can hurt, can be very hurtful. They have that power, but also words can heal. I just fascinated with it, like how a word can make you cry and then another time can make you laugh. Like that's for me, it's like words are bridges to emotion. And that's why I think it's really, really important that we pay attention to the words we are using. Put things that you mean, you know, like use the proper words.
I love it.
Yeah, such a vital part of my life, not only as part of my job, but really as something that you experience every day. This is the way we communicate, like through words mainly. They have an amazing power. And I think the more the people are aware of it, then they will use them accordingly, so to say, the words.
Yes.
Even if you think politically, like the first thing a dictatorship or whatever regime, the totalitarian regime does, it's like going after the words, after the books, after the way we talk or we consume, we read and we receive our information. So if such a regime goes after them, then this shows you how powerful they are. This was the reason, like, people back then were burning books, or, you know? So, yeah, we need to honor books and to keep them.
Yes. This has been delightful. Thank you,
You
Sophie.
too, and maybe see you somewhere around in the creative field trips, or maybe someday also even in person. Who knows?
Yeah.
Kathy, have a nice day.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Writer's Rotation. Like and subscribe for more. And remember, writing is a marketable skill. Smiling is a remarkable skill.